You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on March 24th, 2022. This week, we're going to be talking about churches offering a money-back guarantee on your tithing. A Chicago-area church has recently made an offer to its congregants that if they tithe for 1 year and they are, quote, not fully satisfied with the results of their lives, then the church will give them their money back. There's a lot to talk about here, so we're going to get into some of this in our episode today. For links to the story that we'll be referring to, as well as related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/032422. Now for our story this week. Pastors offer money-back guarantee if congregants tithe for a year and nothing happens. From the Christian Post, Willow Creek Community Church Senior Pastor David Dummett has offered his congregants a money-back guarantee if they tithe 10% of their income for a year and nothing happens. He made the offer Sunday after guest preacher Pastor Robert Morris revealed he's been offering the same guarantee to his nearly 40,000-member Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas, for 22 years without a claim. Morris, who preached at Willow Creek on Sunday on the principle of first as part of the suburban Chicago church's sermon series, More Than Money, was seeking to help boost falling revenues that the church has been experiencing amid the COVID-19 pandemic, according to the Roy's Report. In the YouTube clip posted by the Roy's Report, Dummett is then shown accepting the challenge. I'll just go ahead and say yes. Just like the Lord said, test me in this. I think I'll go ahead and be bold and say, if you do this for the year and you are not fully satisfied, we'll give the money back. I like that challenge, he said. Now, when I heard this mentioned on another podcast recently, it was almost unbelievable. And I say almost because, sadly, not much is shocking anymore when it comes to what churches will do to boost numbers, whether they are attendance numbers or, in this case, giving numbers. When church is nothing more than a business, you have to keep the business running. That means more revenue. And the way many businesses increase their revenue is by offering customers a money-back guarantee. That way, they can try the product or service, whatever it might be, try it risk-free, and if they're not fully satisfied, then they get their money back. Now, in this case, can you imagine what it would look like for someone to try to claim their money back on this guarantee? Would they be going to the church offices with copies of their income tax records and bank statements and pay stubs and canceled checks in order to show that they gave 10% and God didn't return it to them with interest? Imagine someone making that claim and the church treasurer or finance committee or whatever they call it, determining the validity of the claim and then writing a check to the person for $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, or whatever the church is on the hook for because supposedly God didn't hold up his end of the bargain. How ridiculous does that sound? Yet that is exactly what was being offered by this church and apparently other churches as well. There are a few problems here, and if you're listening to this, you probably already have in your mind some obvious problems of what's going on here, but we're going to talk about a few things here in our episode today. First is this. Tithing is not a requirement for Christians today. Now, that statement might be a shock to some people, but let me be clear. Giving is a requirement for Christians, but tithing is not. Tithing involves giving a specific percentage of what one has received, 10%. When Abraham met Melchizedek, who was king of Salem and priest of God, he gave him a tenth, or King James says tithes, of all in Genesis 14 and verse 20. The law of Moses specified that every tenth part of a herd or flock was to be holy to the Lord in Leviticus 27:32. However, the New Testament never mentions tithing for Christians. In fact, there is no amount or percentage specified for our giving. Instead, each one of us is to give as he has purposed in his heart, as 2 Corinthians 9:7 says. We give on the first day of the week according to what we have prospered, 1 Corinthians 16:2. As we determine what we give, we have to do so with the right attitude, but God has not specified a certain amount. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If our attitude is right, the amount will be right. And for more on this, check out the show notes. There's two parts of a study that I put together on giving that discuss what we've talked about in this one point here. Tithing versus free will offerings and our attitude in giving. Both of these are included in those or in that study that'll be linked to in the show notes. Second point I want to cover today is this, that God has not promised financial or even some type of temporal blessing in exchange for your giving or tithing, if someone wants to claim tithing. When this preacher, David Dummett, said, "Just like the Lord said, test me in this," he was referring back to a statement made in Malachi 3 and verse 10, which says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." The context of that passage was completely ignored in order to motivate people to give to their church. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. But the New Testament never teaches that financial or temporal prosperity is promised for Christians if they will just trust God enough to tithe. Our hope is beyond this life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:19 that if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Yes, God has abundantly blessed us in this life. Every good thing we have is from Him, as James 1:17 reminds us. And Christians may be prosperous in this life, even as we compare ourselves to the world around us. And this may especially happen when we follow biblical principles of stewardship and diligence and wisdom. It's not always going to happen, but oftentimes it does happen. Yet even then, Paul told Timothy to instruct the rich not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. It's in 1 Timothy 6:17 and 18. They were to put their trust in God because their riches, which were blessings from God, those riches were temporary and they were uncertain. They were not the promise for their faithful giving or their faithful life before God. They were simply blessings that they were to use for good. The third point that I want us to consider here on this story is that there is a promise of bounty and abundance in connection with giving in the New Testament, but it's not what these so-called pastors were promising. Regarding giving, Paul told the brethren in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Now, is that the promise that they were referring to? That if we give our money, we're going to get more money in return from the Lord? That's not what Paul was talking about here. We need to notice the context to understand what he means about sowing sparingly, reaping sparingly, sowing bountifully, and reaping bountifully. Let's read a few verses there in 2 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 8. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 13. The bounty and abundance Paul talked about there that was produced from their giving was not in their bank account. It was referring to the work the church was able to do and the benefit it was able to provide for others. We give so that the church can do its work. We give so that others will benefit from those resources being collected and used in the way God intended. We do not give so that we will have more money in our own personal bank account. That's not what Paul was talking about there. Then the fourth point. And this goes back to the passage that they were referring to when they said, well, we're going to test this. We need to be careful about taking Bible verses out of context. The quote from the article that alluded to Malachi 3 and verse 10 is what we're talking about here. Remember what that verse says. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. The context is talking about the nation of Judah, not the church. It is about tithing, not the giving that we do on the first day of the week. Yet false teachers take this verse, rip it out of its original context, apply it to something completely different, and deceive or manipulate people into doing what they want them to do. In this case, give more for their church, that as we read that excerpt from that article, their revenue was down, giving was down because of the pandemic, and so they were trying to boost that. Well, here's a way to do that. But they are deceiving and manipulating people by twisting the scriptures. There's another famous example of one who did this, taking a verse out of context to try to get someone to do his will, which was contrary to God's will. Satan, when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, quoted scripture. In Matthew 4 and verse 6, it says, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. He quoted from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Yet that passage was not about Jesus casting himself down from the temple, and no surprise, Jesus knew it wasn't about that, and responded with an appropriate scripture to refute the devil's misapplication of that scripture. Jesus said in Matthew 4, 7, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. It's found in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16. That was the passage Jesus quoted that answered the misapplication that the devil was putting before him. We need to be careful with our handling of the Word of God and not distort the scriptures to our own destruction, as 2 Peter 3:16 warns us about. We do not want to use the Bible the way that Satan did. Instead, we need to make sure we know what God intended in a particular passage and then follow it in the way that He wants us to follow it. As Christians, let's be committed to giving on the first day of the week as God expects us to. This is one of our obligations as members of the local church, but let's make sure our attitude is right. We want to do good and give because God has blessed us, and so the church then is able to carry out its work. We don't do this because we expect Him to give us more in exchange. There is no exchange. He has already abundantly blessed us. So let's give cheerfully and generously and strive to do good with the blessings that He has given us. We don't need a money-back guarantee on our giving or anything else we do for the Lord. We simply need to trust Him, knowing that whatever happens in this life, we will have more than we could ever imagine from Him in blessings when this life is over. We need to look beyond this life and look to what He has promised us, what is available to us in eternity. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this episode to be interesting and informative and helpful. For links to the news story that we cited, as well as other relevant links, a couple of them I mentioned in the podcast, and then also some other ones that deal with some of the things we've talked about, including one about the temptation of Jesus and an explanation about the devil's misapplication of Scripture there. That's also included in the show notes. But the show notes for this episode can be found at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/032422. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you use those platforms, please subscribe and rate the podcast there. And if you know of others who'd be interested in hearing this episode or the podcast in general, please share this with them. Also, if you see a news story that you think might make for a good discussion, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.